I get up Sunday morning, I prepare the Sefer, and I get to like then go to Daven with these ideas. And then we come here, and you guys already Daven, and we learn about it, and you have to try to hold on to something by Mincha, or by Shachar tomorrow. But okay, it's important to try. Okay, let's see the words of the Ramban. Okay, we're on page Lamed Daled, the third line. U'mamshich ha-Rambanza, v'kavanas romus ha-kol b'tfilos, the intention, the kavana, of raising one's voice in tefillah, v'kavanas bate knesios, and the reason that we make shuls, v'schus tefillas ha-Rabin, and the merit of communal prayer, zehu, she'alivnei adam makum yiskabsu v'yodu lakel, shebaram v'himtiyam, that there should be a place. It's a beautiful idea. What's the point of a shul? The Ramban says the point of a shul is that there should be a place where Jews can gather and they can thank Hashem and they can praise Hashem and they can recognize their Creator collectively. How many of us think of davening like that? A place where we get together as a tzibur because we want to talk about together what a great thing it is that Hashem created us. The basic, if I had to summarize all of tefillah in two words, says the Ramban, it's one big, glorious public declaration of what? Briosecha anachnu. We are your creations. And we're here to recognize that. We're not going to pretend that our life was created, you know, independently, or on its own. But to recognize that there's a creator. And to praise him and to thank him. V'zeh kavanasa mamash armu chazal. And that's what chazal meant when they said, V'yikru el elokim b'chazaka, mikan atalamei shetfila tzricha kol. From the pasuk that says that they called out to Hashem with strength, from here we learn that tefillah requires what? Raising one's voice. After preparing this piece this morning, I tried really hard when I went to davening today, to daven a little louder. And it really makes a difference, as we're going to learn today. Chatzifa natzach levisha. Chatzifa sounds like chutzpah. Right? Strength, confidence, energy is what's used to what? To defeat the bisha, to defeat negativity. Negativity is overpowered by what? By being loud, by being confident. And a person doesn't mumble their tefillah, but says the words out loud and really thinks, I'm talking to Hashem and I'm acknowledging that Hashem is my creator. A person's able to drive away all negativity in that way. Balatanya, of course, was the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Certainly by Chasidim, the Shulchan Aruch Harav is a sefer of halacha. V'gam itzal achronim. And it's such an important work that it's not only studied by Hasidim, but by the Achronim. Asher lo hayu mitalmidei Baal Shem Tov, even those of the non-Baal Shem Tov world, niskabel ke'echad me'aposkim agadolim. The Shulchan Aruch Harav is considered one of the great poskim, and he says in the Mishnah Berurah, you don't find a single page where the Shulchan Aruch Harav isn't quoted. So this is something that we can all agree to. Let's see, what does the Shulchan Aruch Harav tell us in the next paragraph? Ve'ilezos zos ha'etza hayu'utza, v'takana kavua chok v'lo yavar od chas kasham. I want to remind everyone, he says, of a rule, a good advice, a rule that's been firmly established and hopefully will never dissipate. It'll never be removed. Dahainu, livchor anoshim kavuim haru'uyim leze apia goral o beritzoi rov haminyan. To assign set people. It shouldn't be we show up to davening and they're like, oh, who wants to daven shachar? Who wants to be the chazan? Okay, you do the first part, I'll take over at yishtabach. There should be someone who prepares himself as a chazan, with a kviyas, right? And let's say you designate, you know, seven people, one for each day of the week. So you should determine their day based on either a lottery or the way that whatever people want, but it shouldn't be haphazard. It should be people who know how to daven out loud, b'kol ram, people who don't drag it on too long, and people who don't cut the words short, God forbid. Right. We've all been to davenings where it's going so fast you feel like, what am I even doing here? What's the point of even being here? But we've all been to davenings, right, that become just so schleppy that you also, it sucks the life out of the davening. It's an art to be able to daven in a way that is appropriate, both in terms of length and in terms of shortness. Yeah.
Is he saying like how like the Svartim literally say
he's gonna, yes, he's going to talk about the Svartim. So these individuals who know how to daven, they have an obligation to descend before the shtender, right, to approach the bima, kol echad ve'echad biyomo asher yigiolo, each person on his assigned day, ula esof alav saviv, and you see this by some chassidim, ula esof alav saviv, and to gather around himself, kol amispalim b'kol tzas al kolpanim, gather around the people who at least are willing to work together, you know, to raise their voices in davening a little bit even, v'lo b'lachash, not the people who are just whispering to themselves, mumbling to themselves. But get together a chevra, people who want to daven out loud together. It's such a strong, powerful thing. V'lo chotvim chas v'shalom, that they don't swallow up the words. U'kamavur b'takanos yishanos b'kam ayaros, as has already been established in the old practices of certain cities. Baal Tanya is being mechazik people to develop a chevra of people who want to come together and daven in that way. Bottom paragraph. V'chein matzoi kayom sh'agabai mitzav l'echad l'redes l'fnei ha'teva v'hu eino rotzim. Sometimes the gabai comes over to a person, and the reason the gabai came over to that person is because he knows he's a good davener. He knows he has a nice voice. He knows how to pace it in the right way. And the person says, I'm not in the mood. I don't want. Zohi achrayis gedola. It's a big achrayis. When someone asks you to be the shliach tzibur, right, there's a reason you're being selected. Sharei lama mevakesh agabai dafkul hazeh. Why did the gabai come over to you? Humishum shal pi shikol daito, because the gabai calculated in his understanding that you're an ish who's royally os shliach tzibur. The gabai asked you to daven because when the other guy davened last week, it wasn't such a good daven. He knows when you daven, people daven, they get into it. So you say you're not in the mood? Who asked you if you're in the mood? What does it have to do with being in the mood? It's an achrayis. Hashem gave you ability to daven well. And when a person refuses to step up, so he withholds good from all the others. On Shabbos in particular, when people are a little more open to davening a little bit longer, it's so important to have someone who has a sweet voice. The Baal Tefillah Shel Shabbos has to daven with pleasantness. His Hishtach Vul Hashem Bahadras Kodesh, as we say in the davening. Uveni'imus. There's a kedusha. There's a sweetness to it. K'mo Shel Amar Eitzel HaMalachim K'noam Siach Sod Sarfei Kodesh. There's an angelic way to daven. A sweetness. When a Jew davens on Shabbos. B'safa brura uvni'ima, with clear speech, with pleasant speech. U'kashinigash b'al tefila tov shmispal b'ni'imis, hu mavir u'ma'or es kol ha'kal l'tefila. And when the right chazan gets up, right, we all know it's a different, the tzibur responds differently. And when the wrong chazan gets up, right, and he's singing off key, or he's davening too quickly, or he's davening too slowly, people lose interest, and the whole tefila loses its energy. And therefore, osr l'sarev shlo yeh moneya tov l'balav. And therefore, if you've been tapped on the shoulder by the gabai to lead the tzibur, so it's a big achrayis. And a person, you know, under most circumstances shouldn't say no. Okay? The end of the paragraph, I'm going to skip over because we already learned it. He quotes again that medrash about Navos, that Navos HaYisraeli had a beautiful voice, and he refused to daven, and it cost him his life. And we learned how a person who doesn't act on their kochos, remember this piece, we learned it in Lakad Amar, that a person who doesn't use their potential, right, because mamish undermines their existence. And if you remember, we explained what was his punishment. Not only was he killed, but he was killed over what? Over an ancestral plot. Because if you're not true, your ancestral plot in Eretz Yisrael is the place where your neshama is connected. So if you're not true to your kochos hanefesh, so then you lose your land. You lose your life and you lose your land. Right? Because you failed to actualize your potential. So again, it's such a powerful medrash, the Alkut Shimoni, that emphasizes that if you have a good voice, it's not up to you if you want to sing or not. It's not up to you if you want to be the Shliach Tzibur. Hashem gave you the kochos of the Shliach Tzibur. And therefore, it's a big achrayis for a person to step up. Okay, the next paragraph on page Lamedhead. Harav Rabbeinu, the Rebbe Rabbi Yonason Aipshitz, Kosev B'Sefer Teferes Yehonasan, Dehashiros V'Tishbachos Tzrichim Lomar B'Kol Kochem. Shiros V'Tishbachos need to be said with all of one's strength. K'mo She'omrim Amen Yehesh Meirah. What's Rabbi Yonason Aipshitz talking about? The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that a person is supposed to say Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba with all of one's strength. It's a machlokes rishonim what that means to say it with all of one's strength. We'll get to it in a second. Rabbi Yonason Aipshitz said Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba, that is just an expression of what? Of praising Hashem. So Rabbi Yonason Aipshitz said the same thing is true for all the shiros and tishbachos of davening. They should be said what? With all of one's strength. It should be expressed with full strength and full energy. As we find, as is written, Gabay Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba, maybe HaBeis Yosef, the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Cairo brings, in Simen Nun Vav, different opinions of the Rishonim, what it means to use all your strength. Rashi says, using all your strength, Svir Alei B'chol Kovanosav, B'chol Kovanosav, with all of one's Kavanah. All of your strength means, put your mind to it. It's not about saying it loudly, but it's about saying it with a lot of intention. Tosfos writes over there, it's Tosfos and Shabbos, quoted here by the Beis Yosef, B'chol kocho means B'chol kocho mamish, da'ainu b'chol ram. that when you say Amen Yeshua Rabbi, you should say it with what? You should feel you're putting your energy into it. Amen. You should really say it loud.
I saw the signs in Eretz Yisrael. They always have signs.
Right.
Never know what I'm talking about? No?
I know what you're talking about. So the Beis Yosef says, Rashi says, have a lot of mindfulness. Toso says, put a lot of physical energy into it. The Beis Yosef says, why not do both? It's a good place to pass in like all the opinions. The Beis Yosef says, Yesh lahachmir b'shneim. V'lomer b'chol kocho mamish. To put all your energy into it and to understand what you're saying. Amen, Yehei, Shmei, Rabba. Hashem's presence should be big in our world. In a world of such Hester Panim. Such an important thing to say. Avnam kvar kosva poskim. Obviously, the poskim warn us, She'ein lo lasos kolos gedolos. She'es lotsu mimenu b'nei adam. Obviously, don't be ridiculous about it. I remember one person in particular in my life, in Eretz Yisrael, this one person who was literally screaming like a Meshuggah person. And obviously he was trying to be Mekayim this Gemara. Whoever says, Amen Yehesh Merab B'chol Kocho, could overturn a Gezerah of 70 years. Right? But it also, yeah, now you know the sign. Right? But you have to be normal. So you can say it loud, you can say it strong, and it can still be appropriately loud, as opposed to acting like a crazy person. So you don't want people to laugh at you, right? Then becomes a Chil Hashem, as opposed to Kiddush Hashem. Achzarach Lomer B'Kol Rab. But you do need to say it loudly. You need to respond, right? You're being maskim to the fact that you want Hashem's presence to be strong in the world. K'mokin B'Zohar, Kadosh, Achzarach Lomer B'Kol Kocho Mamish. And the same thing is found in the Zohar, that we should try to use, again, all of our voice and all of our energy. Uvakafachayim, Simon Kuf Aleph, maybe Vishem El Yerabba, Vizel Lishono, Noagim Bechol Elu Haartsos, Bepiutim, Bekyotse Behem, Shemagbim, Kolov, Vitsoakim Bekol Ram, Adshah Nochrim Mal Igim Al Zah. The practice was that many Jews would daven in a loud voice. They look like they're really into it. Again, he's not talking about screaming, he's talking about being appropriately loud. And that the Gentiles, when they see the Jews, you know, praying so loudly, they think it's strange. And the Chaf HaChaim, who was a Sephardi posek, says, I always wondered, where does this minhag come from? To daven so loudly. Ki minhagam shal Yisrael Tori. Everything a Jew, right, the minhag of Yisrael are certainly rooted in sources. So he said, where is this source that we're supposed to daven so loudly? All of the davening. Ad sheheir Hashem eseinai. Until Hashem opened my eyes, and I found the Ramban that we've been studying. The Ramban in Parshas Bo that says what? That the whole purpose of Tefillah, Kavanas Romus HaKol B'Tefillah, the purpose of creation is to raise your voice in prayer, to build shuls, to get together and scream out together that we believe in Hashem, Brio Secha Anachna, that we're your children, we're your creations. Kamasha Amr Chazal, Vayikru Elokim B'Chazaka, Hainu Chutz Mitvila Shmona Esrei. With the exception of Shmona Esrei, which is a very private and intimate conversation between Klal Yisrael and Hashem, between an individual and his creator, the rest of davening should be davened out loud. Like you said, the Svardim are much better at this than the Ashkenazim. The Svardim say the words. They really don't skip the words. They say it all out loud. And those who have that practice, it's a very good thing. Vine, the bottom paragraph. B'prima Godim, again, one of the big poskim, was quoted by the Mr. Brewer, writes, V'afilu b'psuke de zimra tov shalo laharim kol. Now we counter, says Rav Wolfson, a dissenting opinion. If you look in the writings of the Prima Godim, he says that even in Pesukei de Zimra, a person shouldn't raise his voice so much. Why? Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomea Balachash. Because God can hear you even if you're not screaming. Lo Ka'osam HaMagbiyim Kolam Yosem Yidai. Not like those people who are much too loud. That's the opinion of the Prima God. Right? Even in Pesukei de Zimra, you don't have to be loud. Hashem can hear you either way. Says Rav Wolfson, the reason we don't follow this Prima Godim is because we're not davening out loud for God. We know Hashem can hear us even if we're whispering. We're trying to wake up our sleepy bodies and our sleepy souls, right? And that's why we're davening out loud. Because when I'm just saying the words quietly, I could sleep my way through the whole davening. But when I challenge myself to say the words out loud, and my ears can hear them clearly, right? It's a totally different tefillah. He writes two lines from the bottom. Even though the Prima Godim writes this opinion, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, V'yadua shetadike hador tzivu lilmod b'sefer Prima Godim, and the Prima Godim is certainly a very important work of halacha, quoted many, many times, by the later authorities, v'zacha shesifro niskabel, u'psakov niskablu, turn the page, b'chlal Yisrael. And of course, his piskei halacha are very well accepted. L'fisha tzadikim he'idu alav shalom Torah l'shma. The tzadikim said about the Prima Godim that he was the type of person who studied Torah l'shma, and therefore his words are taken very seriously. Mikol makom mashahu posekan hu inyan shu niska mibinasenu. But what he writes here, we don't understand, says Rav Wolfson. Why? She'im ha'isa kavanaso b'harama sakol b'tfila k'dei she'yishma Hashem eskolenu. Because if in fact the reason we were raising our voice during davening is to what? Is to get Hashem to hear us. Ein hachana mishein tzrichim l'kach. Of course we know that God can hear us. God can hear us when we're not saying any words at all. God can hear my thoughts. God can hear my heart. Shekodesh Baruch Hu shomei gam b'lachash. Of course Hashem could hear a whisper. Achatam, where it's underlined. Achatam shanu tzokim hu. Lo k'dei she'yishma Hashem. We're not raising our voice so that God can hear us better. Ela k'dei she'nishma nachnu. That a yid can actually realize what he's doing. We're half asleep. We're just, it wakes us up. Lefisha kol ma'or hakavana. When I say the words out loud, first of all, it's much easier to not mumble the words and to not pronounce the words right. When I say the words out loud, you really learn the words well. You learn how to pronounce them well. Right? You want to make sure you say it clearly and properly. V'zeh she'ein sarach la'or kavanasu al yedei haramas kol yachol espal balachash. And the person who doesn't need to awaken his kavanah, as he's about to explain, could daven quietly. But for most people, right, if we don't daven out loud, we're going to be half asleep during davening, at least half asleep. Ein achanami. Those people who know how to daven without raising their voice, ein achanami she'ein tzarach litzok b'tfila. As we're about to see, he's going to quote from different tzaddikim who daven more quietly. And that's okay. For those tzaddikim, that worked. But it's not for us. Aval lefachos lispal b'kol. Maybe not to raise your voice loudly, but at the very least, to hear your voice. Hatfila tzricha lios bechamimus uveniimus, with warmth and with pleasantness. Umemela yotzim tevos hatfila b'kol. And then automatically, if you're connected to davening, how could you not say the words out loud? Again, I went to shul this morning after learning this piece. Right? And just like regular parts of Pesukah Dezimra, I was just trying to say them a little louder. And it makes a difference. It really makes a big difference. It really makes a big difference. Tzricham lespal b'hadras kodesh, with a sense of awe and appreciation for the holiness of what you're doing. B'ni'imis shalo yirak k'meshuga. Again, in a pleasant way, you don't look like a crazy person. Screaming like a, you know, it's not proper. Disturbs other people. Aval al koponim lespal b'kol gavoa k'dei la'or es atzmo. But to raise your voice enough, at the very least, to what? To wake yourself up. Shetrichim la'or es haneshama, which is sleeping in a state of sleepiness from the tardemas hazman. Right, from the deep slumber of time, the weightiness of life in this world. Uve'emes hayu tzadikim shelo hayu tzvichim la'ora kavana yedei haramas kol. And yes, there were tzadikim who were able to daven without barely raising their voice at all. Uvatuach ani, says Rav Wolfson, I am certain. Sha'af echad min tzadikim lo hayu tzarech l'sa. The tzadikim didn't need to raise their voice. Why? Because they knew how to daven. Ve'elu she'espalu b'kol gadol lo hayu ela k'dei she'yiru atalmidim. And those tzadikim who would raise their voice was only to what? So that their Talmidim would learn from them. So that they should also. So that's our response to the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim said, why do you need to daven out loud? Hashem can hear you either way. It's almost inappropriate to raise your voice. What's our answer to that? The answer is we're not raising our voice so that Hashem can hear us. We're raising our voice so that we can wake ourselves up. So that we can daven. Right? That the tzibur can feel like a tzibur. As opposed to each person, you know, sleepily mumbling the words to himself. Okay, let's learn about a tzaddik who teaches us about how tzaddikim daven more quietly. The more of a tzaddik a person is, the more they're able to turn inward. What do I mean by that? Let's see. Dalid madregos v'avodas Hashem. Okay, the next section. Dalid madregos, four levels in avodas Hashem. Harizner, the Halig Harizner, Rav Yisrael of Rizhin, left this world in the year 1850. Hayimispal belachash. The Harizner used to daven in a whisper. Very, very quietly. Achu hisbir es atzmo, but he explained himself as follows. Shemivim b'shem arizner, shekosav etzel, hashunamis, she'amr labala al Elisha hanavi, ish elokim kadosh hu over aleinu tamid. When the holy Navi Elisha would come to visit the isha shunamis, she said, this man is a holy man. How did she know he's a holy man? The Gemara in Brachos, remember this Gemara? Jordan, remember this Gemara? How did she know he's a holy man? Umaksha mina yada. How did she know? What was the sign of Elisha's kedusha? He had a big gartel. What was the sign? How did she know? Umetaret shahayu lasimana mazer. There were two signs to her that were very clear. Al shelo ra'asa zavuv al shulchano. She never saw a fly pass over his table. Right? A bug never disturbed him when he was eating, because his eating must have been b'kedusha. So it kept the bugs away. Okay, interesting. Fishahaisa mitaso nakia. And his bed was clean. his bed was clean. What does that mean? It means he never saw a seminal emission at night. Right? And there was never, God forbid, a stain on his clothing or on his pajamas, on his sheets. He was always pure. Right? That's how she knew he was a kadosh. So says the Rishner, hold on a second. If you ever met someone who's holy, right? You don't have to see them eat, you don't have to check their bedroom to know that they're holy. You meet a tzaddik, you see in 2 seconds, the person's a tzaddik. So why did she say to her husband, this man is an Ish Elokim, you know how I know? From the way that he eats, right? And from the way that he behaves in his bedroom. There was no other sign that he was a kadosh. Right? A person who has that level of kadosh, the flies don't disturb him when he's eating, you would think he probably looks like a kadosh, no? What kind of sign is this? Right? Forget what happens when he sits down to lunch and in the privacy of his bedroom. Take a look at the way he davens. Take a look at the way that he acts. Look at the way he speaks. Look at the things he does and doesn't do. Why is the Gemara asking? How did she know he was holy? And it gives two very subtle things to recognize his kedusha. When the Shulchan Aruch talks about appointing leaders, and how a person has to identify a leader who's what? Who's a Yari Shemayim. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say, how do you identify a person Yari Shemayim? You know, when you meet a person who has Yari Shemayim, you know. You meet Rav Shechter for 2 minutes, you know this is a holy man. You meet Tzaddikim. You meet them for 2 seconds. Right? You met the Lubavitcher Rebbe for 2 seconds. This man's an Ish Kadosh. I don't have to even know what he said. I told you the story once about that parlor meeting that Rav Aaron Cutler spoke at. And he gave some whole, like, Lamda Shashir. He was raising money for some tzedakah organization, right? And he gave, like, some shir on some sugya in the middle of Bav Metzia, some, like, really impossible shir to, like, plain people, very unlearned people. And afterwards, right, after them, one of the people told his brother, who was his business partner, we're not working on Shabbos anymore. This rabbi, I said, you understood what he's talking about? He said, I don't understand the word that he was saying. With his eyes, he was telling me, stop working on Shabbos. He gave one shear with his mouth, he gave another shear to me with his eyes. Right, so you look at Tzaddik in the eye, you saw the Baal Shem, his beautiful eyes.
He's the Tachin Rebbe.
2 seconds, you can't see the Tachin Rebbe. 2 seconds, you watch this person. Right, you don't have to know anything about his eating. Or what happens in the privacy of his bedroom. Right? And the Shulchan Aruch says, when you appoint the person of Yerush Shemayim, you know what that looks like. So what's going on here? Why these strange indications of the Kedusha of Elisha? So answers the Rishner, 4 lines from the bottom. Umetaret sheish kana mine madregos bibnei adam, v'chol masha adam bimadrega gavoa yoser, shegufo yoser mizuchach, avodaso niras pachos mibachutz, v'zoekes yoser bifnim, shebekocho lastiro. There are 4 levels, he says, as we're about to describe, with different types of people. And the higher a madrega a person attains, again, the words are shegufo yoser mizuchach, that his body becomes more what? What's mizuchach? Like shemen zayis zach? Pure, refined. The more pure and refined his body is, his avoda appears less external, and his expression becomes more internal. Right? He's able to hide himself better. A tzaddik knows how to hide himself well. I remember when I read the biography of the 5th Ger Rebbe, the Lev Tzimcha of Ger. So it spoke a lot about how the Ger Rebbe, the 5th Ger Rebbe in particular, is very good at hiding himself. Very, very good at hiding himself. He used to hide out. He would never be seen learning in public. Never. If you wonder, how does he even know any Torah? Like, he never learns. Right? But he would always hide. He would hide in different places where, you know, hide out at not Ger Shtiblach, like in little corners, sitting and learning. No one ever saw him learning. In fact, one time, I think it was, I'm trying to remember, was it a chassid or a gabbai, a brother-in-law? I don't remember. Someone came to visit him in his private study, and he peeks through the keyhole to see what he's up to, and he sees he's sitting there like in an ocean of svarim. Who knows what he was working on? Right, he peeks through the keyhole. He sees he's very busy, deep learning. Right, he gives a knock on the door. He says, "Hold just a minute." He quickly hides all the svarim, takes out a Jewish newspaper and opens it up. He says, "Come in," and he comes and he sees he's sitting there. The Ger Rebbe is sitting there just reading the Hamadiyah. So we know the story because he caught him that time. But he was very hidden. The bigger a tzaddik is, the more a person's able to hide himself.
Yeah. The Boyan Rebbe has a place in Shai Chesed. I told you this?
Yeah. I've seen it, yeah. I just read about it in that book that I read.
Reviewer, I said it to Reviewer when he went to
It's in amongst the clean shaven Jews.
And Reviewer is like, I know where it is.
Yeah.
Isn't there a concept of like rich people who are rich, like having to put their name on donations so people don't think they're like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're saying like in terms of it's a good question. And a lot of tzaddikim say bizman is that don't hide anything because people just need to be inspired. We're not living in a time where we should hide our madrigas. We should dafka let people know that there are people who are achieving great things still, especially parents and children. Moshe Feinstein, I think I mentioned this once also. Moshe said it's very important that we try to display our religiosity for our children, not in the way that becomes overwhelming for them, but that they see a model of what Frumkeit looks like. I mean, it's a good thing. It's a very good thing that our kids should see. We shouldn't hide our madrigas. Because we need to inspire. Right? But at the same time, tzaddikim have an ability to hide many layers. As much as you think you know the tzaddik, there's so much more that you don't know. And the bigger the tzaddik is, the easier it is for him to conceal himself. So he writes here in the second to last line, "Umishalo zicheich gufo," a person who hasn't refined his body as much, right? So his avoda appears more external. You're able to see more. Says the Rishon, "Yesh dalin madregos ba'ovdei Hashem zeh l'mala mizeh." There are four different levels. One higher than the next, top of the next page, Lamed Zayin, there are Yesharim, level one, Yesharim, Tzadikim, Chasidim, and the highest level is Kedoshim. Kedoshim. HaYesharim, Hema Yehudim, Yekarim, Yesharim, Tamimim. A person who's Yashar is a person who what? Is a person who is straight, is honest, he's Tamim. Ve'etzlam Rom, his Rom is Bepiyim. And when you see a Yashar person daven, Tzoakim betfila, he davens out loud, he sings Miros, as we say in the davening Shabbos morning, Befi Yesharim, Tisromam. Befi Yesharim. You hear his voice. You could see it on the surface. Ulamala mehem, the higher level, level two, it's called Tzadikim. She'ein avoda nikaras befiyem, right? You don't hear their voice as much, but Besif say, Tzadikim Tisparach. You still see their lips moving. It still looks like they're doing something. Kamo betfila shmona eser, where the lips are moving, but the voice is not as much heard. What's the third level? Chasidim. What are chasidim? Uvilshon chasidim tiskadash. The tzaddik's lips aren't even moving, it's just the tongue, the lashon. The tongue is still serving Hashem. Right? She'ein rom afilu besif soseyim rach bilashonam. Aval kedoshim, says the Heilig Rishner. But a kadosh, a person who's on the highest level, she'im v'madrega gavoh ma'od, what does it say? Uvekerev kedoshim tishalal. What a beautiful explanation of the tefillah we say Shabbos morning. Again, you got it? Befi yesharim tisramam, besif se tzadikim tisparach, yeah, bilshon chasidim tiskadash, uvekerev, mamash on the inside, kedoshim tishala. So now we understand why the Isha Shunamis says, this man is a kadosh. Yeah. On the outside, he's very hidden. Right? But I pay attention to the little details. I was able to see the way that he eats. I saw his kedusha in his bedroom. I was able to identify a certain holiness by him. Because on the surface, he's very, very hidden. And that's the truth of Big Tzaddik. Okay? So Rav Wolfson is trying to explain to us, there are tzaddikim who, again, their service of Hashem is very quiet. There are tzaddikim who mamish kolos u'brokim. There's different madregos. Again, there is a mahalach that the higher a person is, the more hidden they are. However, that's not really for us. And that's the point he's trying to make. And let's read the next paragraph. We say for Chavetz Chaim, al sidr ha-tfila. Because of al yechsha ha-adam b'tfilaso, a person should not be silent, should not be quiet in his tefillah. Ela yishavei al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should beseech Hashem, he should implore Hashem. B'kol Ram. Shenemar v'nitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoseinu v'yishma Hashem eskoleinu. That they cried out to Hashem and Hashem heard our voice, crying, screaming. V'yishma tefillaseinu lo nemar, ela v'yishma koleinu. Chavetz Chaim points out, it doesn't say in the pasuk that Hashem heard our tefillah. It says he heard our voice. And he heard the tone of our voice. And he heard how loud our voice was. From here we learn that a person should scream out to Hashem. And the Chavetz Chaim concludes by saying a person is more readily answered when he screams out to Hashem. And therefore, says Rav Wolfson, even though the Prima Galdim told us that we shouldn't raise our voice so much, Hashem can hear us anyways, but says Rav Wolfson, we need to raise our voice for us. And he puts together again a whole list of all the sources we just saw: the Ramban, the Kaf HaChaim in the name of the Eliyahu Rabba, the Baal Tanya, the Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, the Chavetz Chaim. So many tzaddikim are telling us we need to raise our voice, and therefore he says that is what in fact we should do. uvechal Yisrael yesh kama edos shenogin kain, and there are many groups that act this way. Ve'etzel hasvardim nogu kain v'chein ikar. And this is the primary way to act. Again, not so much for Hashem, but for us. The bottom paragraph. Umesufra al rava kadosh of Asher Stolener. Rav Asher from Stolen used to daven very loudly. V'hu ayat tamid habal tefillah. And more often than not, he was the chazan. V'nishma kol merachok, and his voice was heard at such a booming level from a distance. Ad shemerachach shnei, I don't know what that word is, some Yiddish word. Hayubale hamashkim yodim azman, masai tzvichim lahashkos as paroseyam, that the farmers who were 2 miles away could hear his voice. They said, oh, it must be, you know, it's time to, they used him as like their alarm clock, you know, to get up and feed the cows. Yeah, when they heard him screaming Baruch Shara, they knew it was time to get going. So says Rav Wolfson, Rav Asher of Stolen didn't need this for himself. He did it because he wanted to show people this is what davening is supposed to be. And he was leading them. He was the Baal Tefillah. That they should be able to daven with a sense of chamimus, with a varmkeit. Okay, let's turn to the last page.
Now, in Meir Sharm, if you walk by the Stolen, you could hear them out loud when they daven.
Right. And it makes a difference. And it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference.
Carlene also.
Yeah.
Va'inyin hu, top of page Lamed Ches. Va'inyin hu sha'anu nis'asafnu kan chaverim b'deya. And the point I'm trying to make here is that what we have many people of one mind in this matter. Umi sherot zilios eved la'ashem yisbarach be'emes u'la'avdo b'chol levavchem tzorach lachshov im nafsho. A person needs to meditate upon this reality u'la'das ba'atmo ha'im kesha'ani mispal b'kol. To ask yourself, when I daven out loud, ha'tfila hi atzli b'yeser chamimus. Just ask yourself a simple equation, a simple question. When I daven louder, is my tefillah warmer? Is my tefillah more energized? Yes or no? If the answer is yes, which it probably is, then do it. Right? B'chol atzmosei tomarna, Hashem yikamocha. Oh, sorry, I skipped a line. Amnam ein tzarach litzok k'mishor. You don't need to scream like a crazy person. Rav Wolfson says, that's not what I'm asking you to do. Aval lispal b'chamimus, to daven with a warmth, with an energy. B'chol atzmosei tomarna, Hashem yikamocha, like the pasuk says. And when you feel that if I daven out loud, it warms me up. And Rav Wolfson says, I imagine that many people will feel this way. This is my recommendation of how to daven. In the next paragraph, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you may not know this, but the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if during Shemona Esrei, you're having a hard time concentrating, you are allowed to daven a little louder. People sometimes think Shemona Esrei can never be anything more than a whisper. Right? It's mutter, especially b'zman hazeh when people have sederim. There's much less of a concern that you're going to distract someone. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, the Simin Kof Aleph, that during Shemona Esrei, if it helps you to raise your voice a little bit, you can. So says Rav Wolfson, all the more so in Pesukei Dezimra. Right? For sure, that's a part of davening which is meant to be davened more out loud. And all the more so, a person's allowed to raise up his voice. Okay? In the bottom paragraph, he says, Yispalo kol hashana kamo b'tfilas ni'ila. A person can daven all year round the same way he davens on Ni'ilah. How does a person daven during the Ilah? During the Ilah, right, if a person is crying out, if a person is screaming, if a person is raising his voice, both in terms of the communal response and even in terms of the private Shemona Esrei, Rav Soloveitchik Kiyadua would daven much louder on the Yom Noram, even during the Amidah, even during the Shemona Esrei. So Rav Wolfson says, why is that? Why do people daven more loudly on Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah, especially by Ni'ilah? The answer is because if you were to stop a person and ask him, why are you davening more loud today? Because it's more nogaya. My life's on the line. So Rav Wolfson says, so why can't every tefillah be a little bit like that? Why dafka by ni'ilah? The tefillah is nogaya. It affects me. It's relevant to me. Right. So why shouldn't every Shemona Esrei be relevant to you? Why shouldn't every Shemona Esrei be an opportunity to have an encounter with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Right? And he says, that's what it is supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to challenge ourselves, to try to feel that, to try to connect with it. Okay, that's what he says in the bottom paragraph on page Lamed Ches. For the sake of time, I'm just skipping ahead. Page Lamed Tes, and with this we'll conclude. Misuper al Strelisker, Zuchusu Yegen Aleinu. Rav Uri of Strelisk, sometimes referred to as the Saraf Mistrelisk, the fiery one from Strelisk. Rav Uri was mamish of fire. I once read about Rav Uri, in a sefer from the Skolya Rebbe, the present Skolya Rebbe. He said that Rav Uri would drink his coffee, just to give you a sense of this person being totally beyond this world. Let me just tell you, let's read what it says here first, then I'll tell you what he would do when he'd drink his coffee. He would go to his rabbitson before he'd go to davening in the morning, he would say, see you around. We may never see each other again. There's no guarantee that I'm coming back. Shaya barulo she'achar avoda kazu she'yavod b'tfila lo yishav b'chayim chas v'shalom. Davening for him was mamish sakanas nefashos, that his neshama would leave his body and not come back. Kol tfila hu otzer hu margalit yahalom, says Rav Wolfson. You see that by the tzaddikim they understood that every tfila is mamish. It could be my final, you know, act of service to Hashem. There is an element when one davens of giving oneself over completely to Hashem, mesiras nefesh. It's a diamond, it's a gem of kedusha, he says. It's a precious stone. Im efshar liknos gimel yahalom bayom. Imagine you have the opportunity, right, by giving an impassioned speech to acquire 3 diamonds a day every time you give this speech. Right? You have the opportunity to cash in on a diamond worth thousands and thousands of dollars just by giving a speech, but you have to give it like you really mean it. That's what it is, says Rav Wolfson. Shalos meo shishim v'chamesh yom v'shana, 365 days a year, lama yashiru zos liyom kippur. Why wait for Yom Kippur? We don't have to be the next Rav Uri of Strelitz. But says Rav Wolfson, you could probably put a little more energy into our daf. When Rav Uri would drink his coffee, he would hold a sugar cube in his hand. He wouldn't put it into the coffee. He would hold the sugar cube in one hand and he'd drink the coffee. Right? And the Hasidim afterwards, when he put down the sugar cube and it was done, the Hasidim would run over to get the Shirayim. And the Hasidim testified, they said, when we would take the sugar cube, after Rav Uri had held it in his hand, and we would taste it, it wouldn't taste like anything. The sugar had, the sweetness had been absorbed. So the Scholar Rebbe talks about a certain tzaddikim, the same way at Har Sinai, right? The Jews were able to see the sounds, right? And to hear the sights. Yeah, all the senses were interchangeable by a tzaddik. Adam Rishon called him a chet. All of his senses were interchangeable. They even explain, they say that's what happened. When the Nachash pushed Chava into the tree, she said, oh, I already tasted the tree. I touched the tree, so I tasted it already. It's possible for a person to, their senses to be interchangeable. You don't have to taste with your mouth, you can taste with your hands. Rav Uri would mamish eat the sugar cubes through his fingers. Big person. So we don't have to be Rav Uri of Strelitz, right? But we do have to be people who try to daven with a little more energy. Okay, a final example. The Brisker Rav explained the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Brisker Rav said, we know that when Paro was deciding what to do with Klal Yisrael, Chazal tell us that he asked 3 people for advice. The Gemara also in Masechta Sota, I think. He asked Bilam, he asked Iov, and he asked Yisrael. Those were the 3 advisors of Paro, according to Chazal. Bilam said, kill the Jews. Iov was silent. Right? So Bilam, who said, kill the Jews, Bilam was killed. Iov, who says, I don't know what to say. What happened to Eov? Say for Eov. He got terribly afflicted with Yisurin. And Yisro, who ran away, right? Yisro says, I'm taking a stand that this is evil. I'm not being a part of this. And he left, right? Such a person was rewarded. And Yisro, of course, became a great Jew and a great helper to Klal Yisro and the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. So says the Brisker Rav, what happened to Eov? Why was Eov punished in this way for his silence? What was the lesson? A lot of people talk about this Gemara. Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichas Musar has an explanation. The importance of not being silent in the face of evil. Very important lesson, just a simple lesson. But the Brisker Rav adds an element here. The Brisker Rav says, what happened when Eov was afflicted with boils? And he's sitting in ashes trying to just cool the pain of his skin. And he takes a pottery shard, as described in Sefer Eov, and he's scraping his flesh, which is mamish burning with boils. And he's screaming, says the Brisker Rav. That's the Mida Keneged Mida. You kept quiet when something should have been screaming about. Hashem says, I'm going to teach you how to scream. And he afflicted Eov in such a way that he learned how to really scream. That when something hurts, you scream. Eov, Klal Yisrael are hurting. This power is about to afflict the Jewish people. A people is being abused and you're not going to scream. That means it's not nogeya to you. It means it's not registering with you. So I'm going to give you something that hits home really, really close to home. And it'll give you something to scream about. And you'll learn that next time you're in a situation, try to feel connected to it and try to let out a cry. And that's what every davening is supposed to be. Not just Yom Kippur, not just Yom Naram, but every time we daven, we're supposed to be screaming out to a Kaddish Baruch. Okay? Very last paragraph for today. Beis Aaron, in the Beis Aaron of Karlin, it says, Tzadikei emes yichol lispal b'chol chavanosim b'chinas raks faseyem naos. Tzadikim, like we said, could certainly daven just by moving their lips very quietly. However, v'haofanim v'chayos hakodesh v'chulu. Osam Shehim Bilchinas Ofanim. Ofan Echad Ba'aretz. It's the Pasuk in Yecheskel. Those people who have what? Ofan Echad Ba'aretz. So to speak, 1 foot on the ground. Those of us who live in the world. Not the tzaddikim who are beyond this world. But those of us who live in the world. Yecholim Lahasig Chayos HaKodesh. How do we get our Chiyos? Ayidei Ra'ash Gadol. Like it says about the angels, that even the angels sometimes make a lot of noise. So those of us who, again, are in this world and have to fight against just the heaviness, the weightiness of Olam Hazeh, the way that we fight back is what? Is by raising our voice in tefillah. Okay? So Mirtz Hashem, we should practice what we preach. Spend 40 minutes learning this. Halavai, we should be zochet to do it. Mincha, Maariv, Shachris, Mirtz Hashem, every day for the rest of our life. Okay? All right, Shkoyach.